Good morning. The scripture reading is found in Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 and following, and it's the story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to the man, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds. Well, this morning, I want to talk about cultivating a heart of thankfulness. But first, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this hobo who was traveling along the road one day. He didn't have any money. He was very hungry, and he saw an old English inn called George and the Dragon. And he knocked on the door. A woman opened the door, and the hobo asked, "Could I please have a bite to eat?" The woman began to scream and yell at him and then curse at him and finally slammed the door in his face. The hobo paused for a moment, then he knocked on the door again, and the same woman opened the door, and the hobo said, "Now could I please have a few words with George?" Well, you know, some people's attitude makes all the difference in the world. And if they have a sour attitude, they can affect everything about all the people around them. This morning, I want us to think for a few moments about cultivating a heart of thankfulness. This, after all, is Thanksgiving Sunday, and so I want to think about cultivating a heart of thankfulness. Cicero once said, "Thankfulness is the parent of all virtues." This story of the 10 lepers really cuts to the heart of the matter. It focuses right on thankfulness. Jesus was traveling along the road from Samaria to Galilee. That road is filled with a lot of tension, racial and religious tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. And while he was traveling along that road, 10 lepers call out to him. We have to understand that in that day, leprosy was one of the most feared and dreaded diseases of all times. The cause of leprosy wasn't known. What people did know was that their fingers and even their arms could die and rot and eventually fall off. And so it was a dreaded disease. And when a person was diagnosed with leprosy, they had to immediately leave their family in the village and never come back again. And in fact, if someone was approaching, whether they were still a long ways off, the leper was required by law to call out "leper" so that people wouldn't come near to them. And so when Jesus is traveling along this road and 10 lepers see him, they call out that they are lepers, but they've heard about Jesus, and they heard that of his miracles and the care that he had for people. And so they said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And Jesus said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now you have to realize also that during this time, that if a person believed that they were healed from leprosy, the only way they could be admitted back into the village and see their family and friends was to first go to the priest, and the priest must certify that they indeed were healed from leprosy. And so Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. Now, realize also that these lepers had to take a step of faith and believe that Jesus was going to heal them, and so take that step of faith and go and show themselves to the priest. And the Bible records that while they were on their way to see the priest, they were healed. You can only imagine the excitement of these 10 lepers who hadn't seen their family and friends for years, how lonely they would have been and how cut off from their friends and family. And so when they're healed, they were excited to go back to their village and back to their family and see their friends and family that they hadn't seen for years. But only one of the 10 decided that instead of first going to see their family and friends, that they would go back to Jesus, the one who healed them. And this leper fell at the feet of Jesus and gave thanks and praise to Christ for healing him. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? And Jesus looks at this man and said, "Rise, go, for your faith has made you whole. Notice the circumstances of the 10 lepers were exactly the same. All 10 lepers have been cut out from their family and friends for years. All 10 had faith enough to go and follow Jesus' instructions to go and find the priest, and all 10 were declared whole. All 10 had family and friends to go back to, but the other 9 went and saw their family and friends first, but only this one leper returned and gave thanks to Jesus, and he was a Samaritan at that. Samaritans often had a certain amount of enmity and religious and racial tension with Jews, and yet he went back regardless and fell at the feet of Jesus and gave him thanks and praise. So often we're like that. All of us face of adversity and difficulty and challenges in life. We all have difficult circumstances, but some of us give thanks while others of us fail to give God thanks, to take that moment and to offer God thanks and praise from our hearts and lives. And that's such an important part of being a person of faith. Paul writes in Thessalonians this challenge to us: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice Paul doesn't demand that we give thanks for all things. He just says, in all things, give thanks. And that's the way our lives are sometimes. We face adversity and difficulty, but thankfulness can change all that we're going through. Thomas Merton said of cultivating the attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving, he said, it opens the heart up. It opens the heart up. I think that's a great image for us as we think about this time of harvest and a time of planting. And in the same way that farmers plow a field and open up the soil so it's receptive to the seed, thankfulness in our hearts and lives opens up the soil of our lives so that the blessing God plants in our hearts and lives can mature and bear fruit. It's not always easy to give thanks, but attitude shapes everything about our life. Some time ago, Esquire magazine wrote a number of prominent writers, and they asked them this question: if the answer to life's greatest question is yes or no, which would it be? Samuel Beckett responded, no, life is awful. Isaac Singer wrote, yes, life is God's novel. Help him write it. You see, thankfulness opens up the possibilities of our life, even when we face difficulty and adversity. The Apostle Paul was in prison, facing possible execution, and he wrote to the church at Philippi, which is also suffering persecution. And he writes an amazing truth in Philippians chapter 4, and it's a challenge for all of us. He writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or heard or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And Paul goes on to share a secret in life. He says this, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What a tremendous testimony, not only of faith, but also of thanksgiving. And the psalmist in Psalm 103 writes this, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so your youth is renewed like the eagles. Life isn't always easy. Sometimes we face a lot of difficulty and adversity in life. I heard about this man who was laying bricks on the upper part of the exterior of an apartment building, and when he'd finished laying the bricks, he had a lot of bricks left over that were on the roof, and he was trying to think about the best way to get them down to the ground. And so he saw a 55-gallon drum there, and he decided the best thing to do would be to load up that 55-gallon drum of bricks and then tie a rope on that barrel and put it through a pulley and then put it down around the tree. And so he did that. He tied the rope around the tree and through the pulley. He tied it to the drum of bricks. And then he went down to the ground and he untied that rope and held onto the rope. And well, now, as you probably know, a 55-gallon drum full of bricks weighs about four times as much as a man. And so down came the barrel and up went the man, and the two met in the middle. And the man was banged and bruised, and if that were not bad enough, he hit his head on the pulley as the barrel crashed to the ground. And were things not bad enough, when the barrel crashed into the ground, the bottom came out of the barrel and all the bricks came out. And so you guessed it, up came the barrel and down went the man, and the two met in the middle again. And the man suffered the worst from that and went crashing to the ground. He was so shocked and surprised and injured that he let go of the rope, and well, you guessed it, down came the barrel right on the man. You know, some days are like that. It's hard to give thanks. But sometimes God can even work through the most difficult things in our life. Thomas Carlyle finished his History of the French Revolution some centuries ago, and he took the manuscript to his neighbor, John Stuart Mill, for proofreading. But a few days later, Mill came to Carlyle's house with disastrous news. His maid had used the manuscript unknowingly to start a fire in the fireplace. Carlyle raged like a madman for days. It had taken 2 years to write the manuscript, and now it was gone. Strangely enough, so was his neighbor. 2 years with nothing but ashes to show for it. He thought he would never give himself to writing. Then one day he was looking out the window, and he watched a stonemason rebuilding a stone wall, stone by stone. Somehow, the image of that stonemason rebuilding that wall, stone by stone, touched him, and he resolved that, just like that stonemason rebuilding the wall, that page by page, he could rewrite that manuscript. And when he finished, years later, most people consider it to be his greatest book ever. God can even use adversity and difficulty in our lives. Pasteur, who made advances in science as to the vaccine, had a paralytic stroke at 46 that handicapped him for life, and yet he went on to do great things. Beethoven wrote music even though he was almost deaf in later years, and Milton wrote poetry even though he was blind and in prison. Thanksgiving helps focus us on the blessings of life, even though we have difficulty and adversity around us. And thankfulness opens us up to the possibility of the future. Attitude shapes the way we look at the world. And attitude has a great impact on our life. Attitude is also the angle of the nose of a jet aircraft as it takes off into the headwind, and it helps give it lift so it can climb above the storms. And attitude is also the critical angle of descent of a spacecraft to keep it from burning up from the friction of the heat when it enters the Earth's atmosphere. Otherwise, it would disintegrate from the resistance. Attitude is the same way in our life. The right attitude of thankfulness can help lift us above the adversity and storms of life, and the right attitude can help us have the critical angle in our life that helps us to meet resistance and adversity and keep it from destroying our lives. That critical attitude is thankfulness. I'd like to close with this thought. This is Thanksgiving Sunday, and when the pilgrims landed in America in 1620, they knew nothing of the bounty and blessings that we enjoy today. They found a land free from tyranny, but a land that was harsh and unyielding that first year. And during that first winter, seven times as many graves were dug for the dead as homes were built for the living. Seed imported from England had failed to grow. A ship that was to bring food and relief brought instead 35 hungry people to feed, and not a single ounce more provision. They caught fish and hunted wild fowl and wild deer, and also took clams from the sandy seashore. They had a little English meal and some Indian corn. 46 people died that first winter. Things were so bad at one point that people rationed just a few kernels of corn a day. But in spite of that, they had an attitude marked by thanksgiving. Governor William Brewster, one day after rising from a very scanty meal of just clams that were taken from the seashore, rose and gave thanks to God for the bounty and blessing of the sea and the treasures that were found in the sand. What an attitude of thanksgiving. In that spring, the Native Americans helped them teach the settlers how to plant corn, and they taught them about primitive kinds of fertilizing. When harvest finally came, the pilgrims were so thankful they invited the Native American friends to a big celebration, the first Thanksgiving. Oddly enough, about the same number of Native Americans came to that first dinner as the number of pilgrims who had died the previous year. What a positive attitude to have. The middle of adversity and difficulty, to think about the things that we have to give thankful for. One of the key people who helped the pilgrims make it through that first year was a Native American by the name of Squanto. Historical accounts of Squanto's life vary, but historians believe that around 1608, more than a decade before the pilgrims arrived, a group of English traders sailed into what is today Plymouth, Massachusetts. And when they were there, the Indians came out to offer trade, and instead the traders took them to Spain and sold them into slavery. It was an unimaginable horror. But God had an amazing plan for that captured Native American named Squanto. Squanto was bought by a well-meaning monk who treated him well and taught him the Christian faith. Squanto eventually made his way to England and was sold to a man by the name of John Slaney. Squanto poured out his heart to Slaney and asked him to return home, and Slaney's heart was touched by that, and he promised Squanto that the first ship that would return to the Americas, that he would pay for his passage back to America. Unfortunately, it wasn't until quite some time later, in 1619, almost 10 years later, that after he was first kidnapped, that ship was found, and as he sailed back to America. Finally, Squanto arrived back in America, back to his home in what is now Massachusetts, but unfortunately more heartbreak awaited him. An epidemic had wiped out Squanto's entire village. We can only imagine what must have gone through his mind. Why had God allowed him to return home against all odds only to find his loved ones dead? A year later, the answer came. A shipload of English families arrived and settled on the very land once occupied by Squanto's people. It was those first pilgrims under the leadership of Governor William Bradford. And Squanto met them there, and to their surprise, he knew the English language and customs and even about the English faith. And this is what Governor William Bradford said about Squanto. He writes, "He became a special instrument sent of God for our good. He showed us how to plant our corn, where to take fish, and to procure other commodities, and also was our pilot to bring us to unknown places for profit, and never left us till he died." When Squanto lay dying of a fever, Bradford wrote that their Indian friend desired that the governor pray for him that he might go to the Englishman's God in heaven. He received the Lord, and Squanto left all of his possessions to the pilgrims as remembrances of his love. It's an incredible story, almost like the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, where Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers, and yet God miraculously used that series of events in his life to bring him to the second highest position of power in all of Egypt, that he could help spare not only the Egyptians from famine, but also his family that was reunited with him. In the same way, God somehow used Squanto, who was sold into slavery, and then through this course of events became the person that guided those pilgrims through that first long winter and through the years helped them to have a prosperous and blessed life. In a few moments, we're going to close by singing that great hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." A lot of people know that hymn, but don't know the story behind it. Pastor Martin Rinkhart lived in the walled city of Eilenburg back in the 1600s. And during that time, the city became crowded with refugees from the 30 Years' War in the 1600s. Inadequate sanitation and crowded conditions led to an outbreak of the bubonic plague. Every official died or left the city except for Reverend Martin Rinkhart. He performed 40 to 50 funerals a day, in all a total of 4,480. One for whom he conducted a funeral was for his own wife. After the plague, if that weren't bad enough, the Austrian army sacked the city and left it in ruins. And after that army left, a second Swiss army came and demanded a ransom, or they threatened to ransack the city again. Rinkhart negotiated with the army down to a fraction of the cost and paid it all from his own savings, which wiped him out financially. He lost his wife, his friends, his financial resources, and in the end, his health. But he was able, in 1636, to write the words to this immortal hymn amidst all adversity and difficulty. He wrote these words, "Now thank we all our God, with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms have blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us." Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for your bounty and blessing in our hearts and lives. Help us, Lord, to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness and thanksgiving in our heart, not just for Thanksgiving holiday, but all the year. Open our hearts and lives to all the bounty and blessing you've touched our lives with, and help us to spread that attitude of grace and gratitude to others, both near and far. We thank you for the many things you've blessed in our life, but more than anything else, we thank you for the saving grace of Jesus Christ, who came and lived among us, and in the greatest gift of love of all times, laid down his life on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins and shortcomings that we could know forgiveness and new life. And then was raised to new life through the power of the resurrection that we would have hope of eternal life now and forever. We pray in all things we know your thankfulness, your love, and your grace this day and always through your power and to your glory. Amen.